Okay, guys, and welcome to the Rondo. We're back again. Another week, another epic show, another epic week of Premier League football. And today I'm kind of crushed.
Cross-dressing.
Calm down. Cross-dressing's got some mad other connotations that I'm not involved in, yeah. Because I've got my Liverpool scarf on, but most importantly, I am Nigerian today. AFCON final today as well. So, yeah, it's your boy AA hosting. I am joined by my co-host,
Marcus.
Come on. Tell him a little something.
Best Chelsea fan about, you know what I'm saying?
Sort of. How many games you been to this year?
Shit. Coming to one, actually.
Anyway. Yeah, so only the host and co-host in the building today. I'm already getting a little bit hot. I'm going to just move this here. But on this week, we've got lots to discuss. So we're going to start off with that alien Haaland, who is now the top goal scorer in the league after 2 months out. And his partnership with Kevin De Bruyne as they put on a good 2-0 performance against Everton. Then we're going to move into our weekly roundup and rondos. Then we're going to move on to Kane. Is Kane going to lose the Bundesliga this season? A 3-0 defeat to Leverkusen, managed by Alonso, who, you know, I'm hoping is here to come into Liverpool. But yeah, it's not looking good for him. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about Bellingham and the top 5 transfers ever in football history. And then we're going to do a new little segment called Confessions, if we have enough time. So jam-packed, lots to discuss. Let's start off with the 2-star boys at City, starting off specifically with Haaland. What's your thoughts on him, Marcus?
He's just a goal machine. Like, if there's one thing you can guarantee from that player, it's goals. He might not be the most scintillating when it comes to build-up play. He might not be the most scintillating when it comes to passing, when it comes to how he affects the game as a whole. But when it comes to scoring, there's no one better in the league. There's probably no one better in the world right now. He's probably the best scorer we have in football right now. So I think he's on 15 goals now, is it?
Yeah. No, 17.
17. Okay, 17 goals now. I think Salah's on 15. 17 goals now. Top scorer in the league. He's going to finish being top scorer in the league. He's going to score a lot more goals. It's just, now we're just back to the status quo. Kevin De Bruyne assisting, Haaland scoring. The league is theirs. That's it.
Yeah, no, it's actually ridiculous. I think he scored something like 52 goals in 53 games while being at City. And you spoke about the fact that in the world right now, you don't know anybody else who's better at scoring goals.
There isn't anybody else,
no. I've got a question for you, because often the criticism for Haaland is the fact that he doesn't, you know, kind of, you know, take part in the beauty of the game. You don't really get dribbles. You don't get a lot of intricate play. It's just goals. Do you feel like that impacts his legacy? Do you think it matters? Question to you.
This is a difficult question, because I don't think Haaland has what it takes to ever be the best player in the world.
Yeah.
He's probably throughout his career going to be the best goal scorer in the world. Have the most goals in all. He's going to win so many European golden boots. But his all-round game would always stop him from being that guy. And the reason I'm saying that, because yes, goal scoring can help you be that, but it's not just the goal scoring. You have to be clutch as well. I don't think Haaland's clutch in the moments that his team needs him the most. He doesn't have those big moments for the club. For example, Ronaldo, yes, a great goal scorer. Even to the later part of his career, he wasn't as involved in the rest of the game, but he was clutch. When you need him, he came up and he scored the goals in the right times. Haaland is just a goal scorer. I don't see him as this clutch player who turns up in the big moments, but he's the best goal scorer we've seen in years.
But last season, when he scored however many goals, he broke the Premier League goal record, scored 36 goals. City won a treble. He was obviously key to that. You don't think he was the best player in the world? We know Messi won the Ballon d'Or, but we know that was more sentimental. Was he not the best player in the world?
I don't see. No, he wasn't the best player in the world. If he had won the Ballon d'Or, I'd still be saying the same thing. But I wouldn't say he doesn't deserve the Ballon d'Or. The Ballon d'Or is weighted on many different things. Obviously, your achievements, how you were as a player. But everyone knows the best player in the world was Mbappe. Everyone knows that. You understand?
Okay, interesting.
We'll never see Haaland in that light.
So you think Haaland can never be better than Mbappe because he just doesn't do...
Unless Mbappe was to tail off completely.
Yeah. But based on their attributes, it's impossible.
No, it's not possible.
Because he just doesn't have that capability to, you know, kind of be clutch, really take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Exactly.
And just run it by himself.
That's it. I think that's what separates the top players from the actual best players in the world.
F- Fairs. Interesting. But is he world class?
100%. World class goal scorer.
But you can't be generational when you're in then.
He could be a generational goal scorer, of course.
Can he be a generational player?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I don't see why not.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, no. No, that's an interesting take, man. I had my hand on the bell, but I thought it was well argued. It was well argued, and to be honest, you know them ones I was kind of agreeing with it as you were breaking it down, so I couldn't ring the bell. Now that was a good little argument. What about Kevin De Bruyne?
What's already understood doesn't need to be said. Like, he is that guy in all facets of play. He has good defensive capabilities. He actually works hard for the team. He can pick up any pass. He can score from anywhere on the pitch. He's a phenomenal football player. And now that they have him back, sky's the limit for this team.
So a TikTok I did on AA Talks Ball, little shameless plug there. knee took too long to switch the camera, but AA Talks Ball, little shameless plug. was the fact that I feel like Kevin De Bruyne and Haaland have a very good shout as being probably the best attacking duo in Premier League history.
Already?
Maybe it might take a little bit of a while. They might need to do it a bit more.
This is something Jalen said last season.
Oh, it is actually, yeah. But in terms of they've got all the facets to compete with any that we've seen, in my opinion.
Who do you compare them to?
So, I mean, I think you've got Kane and Son. You've got Bergkamp and Henri. You've got Lampard and Drogba. And you've got young Rooney and young Ronaldo, in my opinion.
They'll never beat Dwight and York.
Oh, Dwight, yeah. Why do you think they'll never beat them?
I don't want to be like a nostalgia merchant, but like just growing up, that's what I heard throughout my youth. Dwight and York, that is the duo. That's the Premier League duo that everyone remembers. And they scored so many goals together. So many.
You mean Dwight York and Cole?
Sorry, Dwight York and Andy Cole. Sorry, but it's a different type of relationship. These were two like forwards.
Yeah.
Whereas De Bruyne and Haaland, obviously you have De Bruyne as more of a midfield player and Haaland as the striker, but I wouldn't call them I can't say yet that they were the best. They're the best duo in Premier League.
Not yet, no. But I'm saying they've got a good shout to become.
Of course, for potential. If this was to go on for the next 3 to 4 years, without doubt.
I don't think Kevin De Bruyne's got more than 2 years in him.
Then it's a bit techy.
He ain't really got much hamstrings no more. But if you think about what they could do, if they could even have a full season fit together, in terms of the devastation that they could cause to this league, it's out of this world.
But it's Man City, so.
Yeah. Do you think City are going to win the league?
Oh, without doubt.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Look at the table right now. You have Liverpool top with 54 points, City second with 52 points, and Arsenal third with 52 points. City have a game in hand. Forget the game in hand. City are the type of team that can go on a stretch of results. Next 10, 15 games, they can win all of them. And when they get into that run, yes, we've seen the likes of Liverpool in the past keep up with them. This Liverpool squad is not the exact same.
No, it's not. It's not as strong as it is.
I don't see that happening. So
you think they're just going to win?
Yeah, man.
Like,
they're going to walk it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Can't really argue too much. Okay, moving through into weekly roundup and rondos. So I think you wanted to say a little bit about your boy Enzo. We may as well start with that.
Did you see the free kick? Come on, lads, for a second.
It was one.
Did you see the free kick?
Okay.
Forget the
I've been seeing his performances recently.
Did you see the performance against Villa? He dominated the field.
No, he was good. He was good against Villa.
You see, let's go back to the game against Liverpool at the beginning of the season. We saw Enzo by himself dominate that Liverpool midfield, dictating play, controlling the ball. When you see Enzo in a lot more reserved role, he affects the game a lot more because Enzo's the type of player, he needs the ball. He needs many touches on the ball. He needs to be picking out passes. What Poch has done this season is played Enzo a bit more advanced as an 8, which I don't understand why.
I play him at 10 sometimes.
Exactly. I feel like the problem is last season, people were saying, oh, Enzo's not a DM. And no, he's not a lone DM, but he's meant to play in a pivot. So when you have Enzo and Caicedo together in that pivot, they can wreak havoc on any team in the Premier League. Enzo's sitting
deep. You think so?
Yeah, of course.
Enzo's, we haven't seen it much.
So it gets your club. At the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that much.
And then since then?
Because he's been playing in the wrong position. Well, at the beginning of the season, we didn't have Caicedo playing it. You have to remember. Okay. So it was Enzo having that deeper role.
Yeah.
As soon as Caicedo came into the to the team, Poch said, okay, cool, Enzo, I want you further up. I want you making shuttle runs. I don't understand. Enzo's not the sort of athletic player you want doing that thing. But for some reason, I feel like Pochettino has now realised, okay, cool, let's make a pivot of Caicedo and Enzo, and that will benefit both players a lot more. If he was to continue doing this, then we can see a lot of improvement in the whole Chelsea system because the midfield for us is probably the part we've been lacking the most. People say Gallagher has been doing good, but he hasn't been doing enough for and affecting the whole team in a positive manner. So I feel like Enzo being played in the right position can be a revelation for us going forward in the season.
When you say a revelation, what level can Enzo display in that position?
He shows some top class level, because obviously the whole team as a whole hasn't gelled together really well this season. We've had a lot of negatives in sort of the way we play, in terms of finishing chances. So it will just make us look a lot neater in build up. We'll look like a lot more controlled and composed team, as well as sometimes when I watch Chelsea, I don't see any tactics. I just don't see tactics. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how we're trying to play. I don't know what we're trying to do. And when you have more control in midfield, it's easier to see what the manager actually wants from his team.
What's Enzo's ceiling as a deeper player?
As a player in general?
Yeah.
He's a generational talent. He could be one of the best midfielders in the world, 100%.
Enzo's a generational talent?
Yeah, he could be one of the greats if he achieves his potential, 100%.
One of the greats?
Yeah.
When we talk about greats, we talk about Zidane, Iniesta, Xavi.
He might not reach their level, but he if all was to go well and he was to have a good career at Chelsea, winning trophies, he 100% has the ability and the talent to be with those players.
I think we need to say a little bit more before we say stuff like that. I think he can I would say I think he can be world class. I think he can be world class. I think I would leave it as that for now. He's quite short and fat, so you know, when you look at that, I feel like you do need to be just a little bit careful.
He's the same build as McAllister.
Yeah, he's quite well. McAllister's more short and weak. Yeah, that does hold him back a little bit.
Mm. Playing DM, of course, it's going to hold him back.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on from Enzo, we've heard enough. Arsenal won 6-0 today, and they absolutely smashed West Ham.
Shit team, bro.
They absolutely smashed West Ham. It was so dominant. They silenced the Olympic Stadium. I mean, you had like half the stadium leaving at halftime. I'm not even joking. It was one of the most dominant performances I've seen all season. West Ham didn't really have a meaningful attack. They didn't have a meaningful attack, man. They got absolutely obliterated. I guess the question is, from that, in like sort of the weekly roundup, so we're not going to go into detail.
They can't win the league. Yeah, that's what you're going to ask. No.
Guy didn't even let me finish. So, all right, so tell me, why can't Arsenal win the league?
Oh, yeah, they won 6-0. Whoop-de-doo, man. Like, Arsenal have shown in the past, this season and last season, they can go to certain places and absolutely dominate, absolutely blow teams away. Well, who was it? I think it was Bournemouth last season, near the start of the season. They went there, they annihilated them. We know Arsenal, when they get it going, when their attackers are clicking, when there's chemistry between their attackers. We saw from Trossard today, we saw from Saka today, the link-up play, the goals that they were scoring. We even saw Declan Rice come in, score some goals. Two of their centre-backs scored as well. When they get it going, we can see scintillating performances. But these are not the moments I believe Arsenal need to improve on. Last season, they were great at putting away their opposition, especially smaller teams. West Ham is a smaller team than Arsenal. Yeah. Arsenal's a better team than West Ham. Everyone knows this. In those crucial moments, closer to the end of the season, that's where I believe Arsenal still, to this day, don't have what it takes to make it over the line.
Just mentality-wise?
Mentality-wise, they just fall apart.
You just feel like they still...
The pressure's too much.
Yeah, they just have that Arsenalism, yeah, almost. They just a bit... You know, I'm thinking, we used to say Spursy, but I feel like it might just be a North London thing. They just sort of crumble.
I think Spurs is a whole other matter. That's worse. Spurs are never going to achieve anything, never going to win a trophy. That's fine. Arsenal.
This guy's such a Chelsea fan.
Arsenal,
man,
will give you the illusion that, yeah, they can do something, but just in the nature of their club, it's never enough. There's never that perfection. Klopp had the perfection, Pep has the perfection. I don't see it with Arteta.
You don't see it with him?
No.
Fair enough. All right, cool. Okay, moving forward.
Take that, Arsenal fans.
So, so United beat Villa today 2-1. So that's a big result in the top four race. Spurs beat Brighton 2-1 as well. Last minute goal. I can't remember who scored. I think it was Brennan Johnson. Scored right at the depth. Yeah, 96th minute or something like that. It was a good goal as well. The move, the passing between the lines was real nice. So I feel like those are the three for that fourth position. Who, in your view, is going to get there?
United, Villa and Spurs.
Yeah.
When you look at the team...
Do you want me to tell you the points now?
I already know. I think Spurs got 47 points, United 41 and Villa 46. United just beat Villa and they're still 5 points behind them. So I would like to think maybe United can get to that fifth spot. I don't see them beating Villa and beating Spurs. What I would say is that United tend to do a thing where even every season. It's really weird. Even though they don't play the greatest football, they don't have the best system, they're not scintillating, they just start picking up points.
Yeah.
You saw this last season, well, that's how they qualified for the Champions League. They don't play good football, but when they come up against teams, their last three games, they've won.
Mm.
Very close games. I think one was 4-3. They just beat them, Villa 2-1. But they always find a way to get over the line. That's one thing I've wanted for my team, Chelsea, is that we never find the ways to get over the line. When
have
we're not
that know-how.
Well.
It's because you've got loads of young players.
I don't think that's an excuse, but fair enough.
Yeah.
United have that. And I feel like if they continue doing that for the rest of the season, yes, they can go further and possibly finish fifth place. But Tottenham, with Son coming back and Richarlison in form, they've got quite a few attackers who can contribute to the play. Basuma's back as well this weekend after the AFCON. I feel like whilst they might not take the league by storm, they can keep a consistent level enough to maintain the top four charge. So essentially, we have our top four of City, Liverpool, Arsenal and Tottenham.
Fairs. I would go for that as well, to be honest. I think when you look at Tottenham's performances and the quality that they have, I do feel like they're the team that will come forth. I feel like Villa are dropping down now in the way that I feel like a lot of us expected them to.
Yeah.
I think because once everyone clocks, like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Villa are starting to pick up a lot of points. They're a bit of the team. The small teams sit back. The small teams also switch on. You know, the manager tells them that, you're playing a serious team this week. The bigger teams as well, they're told to bring their A game. You know, when they beat City 1-0, 2-0. Can't remember, they beat City and they had a really good performance against them. Like, they kind of, City didn't really have like a lot of meaningful attacks and they dominated the game. And I think that was because we know City could beat Villa at the top of the game. That's because City almost underestimated them, in my opinion. And then they came into the pitch and they were like, what the hell? Why? How are Aston Villa of this level? I feel like that's changed now. And teams have all switched on at the level that they're capable of. And I feel like because of that, they're beginning to struggle. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think Villa are going to drop off probably come...
And how do you feel about United?
Fifth or sixth. Yeah, United are weird, like you just described. Like, United are a team that, like I said, they are good at. They have that DNA within their club where they can get over the line and they can get results when they shouldn't. So I do feel like United will pull through some results now. I think it just depends how far Villa slip. Independent of whether United will overtake them. Because let's get it straight, like, United aren't going to like go on a mad winning streak. They're still going to drop points because there's not enough. They're not good enough.
I disagree with you. I feel like United's type of team, they can win 7 games in a row. And you look at those games individually, you just think, I remember them being shit in this game, shit in that game. How have they gotten through? They're not going to go on a City run. No, that's not what I'm saying. But they are capable of stringing some wins together. The only thing is, as you said, right now it's a gap of 5 points. And if Villa... We do have a few games left of the season. United will drop points. Villa will drop points. We just need to see if that gap can be closed. What I do want to quickly say, touch on United, is Rasmus Højlund. At the beginning of the season, not me, but fans like Hugh, Jalen, you're giving him a little bit of stick. Oh, he's not scoring in the league. He's not living up to his reputation. I was always reserved and I didn't speak too much on it because from what I saw from Rasmus Højlund at Atalanta and what I saw from the Champions League, I was certain there was a player in there. And the kid was 19. I feel like we're putting too much pressure on him. Yes, there's a 70 million signing, whatever it is. But forget the fee paid. Like, look at the actual talent of the player itself. Is there a player in there? Without a doubt. I think he scored 5 in his last 6 right now. He's on banging form. And in the future, that will be one of the best strikers in the league, without doubt.
No, Marcus, let me explain to you what happened there. Me and Jalen were even talking about it the other day. You see with Højlund, yeah? Højlund. We always rated him. Okay. Always said that he's got good traits. You know, he's quick, he's strong. He's got decent technique as well. The thing is, yeah, if you're a rival player and you get 0 goals in 14 games or whatever type of goal drought you're getting cooked
in the league.
Either way, I don't care. I don't care, bro. You're getting cooked either way, any way about it. You're not going to put a record like that and think I'm not cooking you. And I don't care if you're 19, bro. You're playing PL football first team. You know
who's
what I'm
better,
saying?
Or
if you're
Nunes?
Playing, you're old enough, bro.
Højlund or Nunes?
Who's better?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think it's similar.
Interesting.
I feel like, do you know what it is? It's like, I'm more sure Højlund will reach a certain level, but You think the level that Nunes is capable of, if he could just think for even a second when he goes through on goal, he'd be there. Because the most frustrating, like, I've been so frustrated with Nunes since I've realized that he actually has a good range of finishing. Because his composure was so bad, mm-hmm. I didn't even think that he had as good ball striking as he does. But he actually has a very good range. So that's what I'm talking about. And then everything else is absolutely fine. Whereas I don't think Højlund has anywhere near the level of intelligence and movement that Nunes has.
He has,
and then pretty much in other aspects, I feel like they're around the same, but he's got a lot more composure. I just feel like he's just young. Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas Nunes has got a bit older now, so you'd expect him.
23-24, isn't
it? Yeah, you expect the composure to start coming through, but it's not there. So, like I think Højlund's got a more... I can see Højlund hitting a more certain level, whereas I'm unsure about Nunes. Like, Højlund, I'm sure, can become a 15-goal-a-season striker.
He could be a 20-goal-a-season
striker. I think he can become a 20-goal, but I'm very sure he can become a 15-goal. Okay. Nunes can become a 30-goal-season striker. I'm not even joking. He could. He could also not crack 10. He could also not crack 10 goals.
If Nunes scores 30 goals in a season, he's missed like 80 big chances, I promise you.
Yeah, but he did it at Benfica.
22 goals, no?
No, he's got 30. He's got like 20. No, it was not 30. It was like 28, 29.
Okay. That's Portuguese league.
Yeah, it is. But his Champions League record was decent as well that season.
Yeah, he scored against you lot, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And he scored a good goal against Barca. But the thing is, he misses as well. He's a weird guy.
That brought something to mind I was thinking about earlier on, yeah? Strikers. Yeah? Talking about strikers quickly, yeah? We put a lot of pressures on these young strikers. When I look back to the past, like the old era of football, what young strikers were there doing it at the top level?
Rooney.
Okay, cool. But I thought Rooney, Michael Owen, and then we had... maybe Pato for a couple of seasons.
Mm.
But a young striker scoring 20 plus goals in the league was quite rare. It wasn't the norm.
Oh, very rare, yeah.
For some reason, nowadays, we think strikers at the age of 22, 23, 21 should be the finished prospect. I don't understand that.
Yeah, no, it's quite harsh. But the problem is, I think because there's a bit of a drought of strikers, you're having to put young boys into the position. And a lot of clubs haven't really sorted out their finances. So they're putting these kids to just start without even someone else there to sort of shadow them so that they can take them out of the team when they're going through a goal drought. Like, Højlund went through that mad goal drought and Ten Hag kept on playing him because he had no choice.
So you think United should sign another striker?
United should sign another striker,
I don't think so. They should just let the boy play.
No, they should sign another striker, but are you coming in? Oh, the game. Oh, first. They should sign another striker, but sorry guys for that. Yeah. they should sign another striker, but what should they do?
Because will that hinder?
No, they should sign another striker, but they should sign like a rotation or older striker.
If they had like Cavani,
when they had him, someone like that. I'm sure there's someone they can get on the market. That's the type of striker they should get. Someone who can just fill in. He doesn't mind being rotational. He knows that Højlund's going to come through. Yeah, someone like that.
Newcastle will be looking to sell him as well.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Yeah, they were in the January transfer window. They wanted to sell him. Chelsea were interested.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next agenda. Jay, I'm not going to lie. You're going to have to wait 15. Cool. Bellingham and... Oh, no, Kane.
I call him Jebediah.
So Kane has joined Bayern Munich.
I believe he got 24 goals in 24, 25 goals in the league.
He's doing amazing in terms of goals. He's doing his job. But you think about Kane's story right now is so sad. He was at Spurs for what, 7 years, 8 years?
He
was at Spurs for a long time.
Yeah.
Obviously scored a ridiculous amount of goals. Was on course to be the top scorer in Premier League history. Couldn't win a single trophy. Left Bayern to get trophies. Bayern are out of the DFB Pokal, the German Cup in a sense.
That was good.
It now looks like they can still win the league, but Xabi Alonso's Leverkusen look like the favourites. They beat them 3-0 on the weekend. They've gone 5 points clear now. They're playing better football than them. And it looks like after Bayern Munich have won the Bundesliga, 11 years in a row? They've won it every single year since Klopp was there.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they might not win it for the first time in however long. Is this man cursed?
Okay, firstly, it's too early to say, because even if you look at Bayern last season, after Tuchel came in, Dortmund were on top of them for most of the running. And then at the end, just at the end,
Bayern pipped them.
Yeah, you get. So I don't want to come out and say Leverkusen are going to win the league, because time and again.
But they're definitely favourites. And you got to remember, Dortmund become the worst team in the world when the pressure's on against Bayern. Leverkusen are looking a little bit more like the... Like the Finnish article this season.
It's still February.
Okay.
Still February. I agree with everything you say, but I know Bayern, and I've seen Bayern in the past. Every time you think they're not going to win the league, apart from when it was with Klopp, every single time you think they're not going to win the league at the end of the season, who's lifting the trophy?
Yeah,
okay. Bayern Munich. And obviously, what I'm going to clarify, I'm not going to do this whole agenda, Kane is cursed, Kane can't win trophies. I'm not going to entertain that. Kane is the best player at Bayern, along with Sané right now. But the way the team is set up, the players that they're playing, the formation that they're playing, it's just not working. I love Tuchel as a manager. He's a great manager. He's done great stuff at Chelsea, but I don't think he's found a system that gets Bayern playing that, maybe that Heineke's football that, what's this? German manager. What's his name? Former German manager.
Oh, Flick. Hansi Flick
type of football. You know that scintillating football, buying, attacking, bombarding you. I don't see that from Tuchel's team.
Yeah, they don't play that.
There's a lot of personnel that I don't really know. Pavlovic, who's that? He's playing centre mid against their rivals.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make sense to me. That's the only thing that I could see costing them. They don't, whilst Kane is scoring so many goals, it's not, they don't provide any fear. Like, if I was Chelsea, I'd be playing Bayern Munich tomorrow. Nah, if I'm Liverpool playing Bayern Munich tomorrow, I'm not that scared. If I'm Arsenal, I'm not that scared. Even if I'm United, I'm not that scared. They're a decent team, but they're not...
They don't have that fear factor. No. That's why I feel like Leverkusen might win it. Like, if I was going to put money on it right now, I would go with Leverkusen, because Bayern Munich just don't look quite like a team. The system doesn't seem to be on job, in my opinion. And I don't... Obviously, they can make it click like that because they do have a lot of good players, but it just seems like it's a bit off. A lot of pressure starting to build up there. Fans are really unhappy. Their hierarchy is a little bit unhappy as well, and their hierarchy is crazy. So, yeah, I don't know. I really feel like it might be Xabi Alonso's year, and it's absolutely beautiful to see. I want to
make a comment on Xabi Alonso. I haven't watched too much of Leverkusen this season, but I decided, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch this Bayern Munich game.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of social media on Twitter. Everyone's like, oh my God, look at the way Bayer Leverkusen's playing. I'm not going to lie. They won 3-0, but I didn't see what the big hype was. I didn't see any brand of football that I thought, oh my God, bring this to the Premier League. There's times I watch De Zerbi's Brighton and I see the football, and I'm like, quality. Mm. I can see exactly what this manager wants and exactly what this manager's doing. With Bayer Leverkusen, yeah, I can see the glimpses and little things, but I want to hold back on the praise for Xabi Alonso until I see... I want to watch the next few games and see, honestly, proper managerial tactics input. What do you want?
Yeah, but let's round up, man. Come on, man, let's round up. Yeah, no, but you see, with Leverkusen, right, I feel like it was a little bit more of a defensive
approach
okay. Against Bayern on the week. They can play real nice football at times. I feel like Xabi Alonso has just got the capability to be quite adaptive with the way he goes forward with things.
Do you think that's the type of manager you want at Liverpool?
I'm okay with him being adaptive. He still plays like front foot football. It's not like he sits back. Like, even though it was defensive, they didn't sit back. They were just very rigid. They didn't really let their players go.
They were,
really free
defending the wings. That's what I saw him target.
Yeah. They defending the wings. Yeah, and they're also like quite compact.
Yeah.
So, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? I just want you to play positive football. You know, I don't want any anti-football.
What would you call
manager
his
at my
brand of football?
Huh?
What would you call his brand of football?
I don't really know, to be honest. I haven't watched them enough. Every time I watch them play, they've played a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I would still love them at the club. So yeah, I mean. Jalen's putting pressure on us, guys, so because he wants to watch the AFCON final. So I'm going to ask Marcus a last question on Bellingham, because I feel like we did say that we were going to cover Bellingham. So in regards to Jude Bellingham, obviously he scored. What happened with him on the weekend?
Two goals, obviously two assists and a goal from Vinicius as well. But focus on Bellingham. He scored two goals against Girona, who are their rivals in the title race. What I just want to say is, I know it's a bit early. This one is a bit early, but I feel like he could potentially be one of the top five transfers of all time.
Oh, my God.
top five. Obviously, you have Ronaldo from United. United, but you don't agree?
He could top five.
Top five, of course.
Top five. You've got Ronaldo. You've got
Rooney,
Neymar, young Rooney.
Of course,
Zidane.
Of course, but let's think about the age he has come into Real Madrid. He came to Real Madrid at 20 years old. He's already their best player. Or top two in the squad.
Yeah, he is.
He's their star, but he's used the fans' love.
Yeah.
Even Real Madrid fans have a little bit of a problem with Vinicius, even though he's treated. They're all behind Bellingham. They're all behind Bellingham. He's scoring most of the goals for them. He's going to be there for the next at least 5-6 years, winning trophies, hopefully Champions League and a Ballon d'Or.
Madrid as good as they used to be right now? Is this Madrid?
They don't have to be.
Okay, so let me tell you something. So you talk about him being top five transfers. So the one I have and in there at the moment, one of their top five transfers is, well, definitely have a shout in there, is Zidane. Can Bellingham be Zidane for this Madrid?
See, I'm not talking about quality of player because I don't think Bellingham is ever going to be as good as Zidane as a footballer. Okay. 100% not.
Okay.
But as an actual transfer, Zidane to Real Madrid, yes, he scored a brilliant goal in the Champions League final, but he wasn't consistently performing for them as he was at Juventus. Even the Zidane of the France international team, we didn't see as often for Real Madrid.
Okay.
Bellingham, one, has the time and the age to, beat Zidane's legacy, but achieve a lot more.
That's beat his legacy. That's what you're saying.
But he could beat his legacy, but he won't be a better footballer than him.
Won't be a better footballer.
Every day of the week, I'll take Zidane over Bellingham. I'm going to get that out there. Every day of the week. But Bellingham could have a better legacy there. So he could be a better signing than Zidane.
You know what? On that note, let's round up the pod, guys. Sorry, it was a short one this week, but we've got to watch the final ahead of us going live on the Rondo later. So, yeah, man. Love to all. Like, subscribe, and all that lovely stuff.
This guy, man. Huh?